You're watching Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. Very recently, MX Global's Nam Bahat has announced an undisclosed equity investment from Binance, the world's largest cryptocurrency company and blockchain ecosystem. In addition to that, MX Global also landed another investment from redeemable convertible preference shares by Kuskapi Berhad, a digital business solutions provider in Malaysia. Here to join, here to unpack all of this, is the CEO of MX Global, Datuk Fazli Shah. How are you, Faz?
Fine, thank you very much, Ibrahim, and thanks for having me.
Of course, MX Global is one of the four recognized DAX, or digital asset exchanges, by the Securities Commission, and that has been granted full approval by them. So we also want to know more about how the licensing of the DAX license from a Securities Commission to MX Global is going to be moving forward, particularly when it comes to the investments coming in from Binance as well as Kuskapi. So maybe Faz, can you share with us some of your plans moving forward following this announcement?
Yeah, thanks Ibrahim. Well, you know, as you rightly mentioned, we are a RMO DAX, so Recognized Market Operator, Digital Asset Exchange. Essentially, to the man on the street, it means that we're legit, we're a legal cryptocurrency exchange. And, you know, we are the fourth and latest licensee in this category. So we received that last July. And so we thought to ourselves, you know, do we want to repeat the same playbook that the other three have done? Which I think they have done a great job in and have made significant strides on the retail front. That's where we realized, well, you know, we could do that, but I don't think anybody necessarily, that's not a net gain overall. So we started asking ourselves, if we were to do it a different way, how would we do it? And obviously, you know, three things came to mind. Number one, that the Malaysian market liquidity and the Malaysian kind of variety of products are probably not as expensive. So could we find a very fast way to be able to integrate new products or launch new products as and when we work through the nuances with the regulator. Number two is that, you know, there's still a lot of activity happening on the unregulated side. And we believe that that's not good for anybody in the long term, right? So then the third part being that, yes, the regulations have started off in their own way, a different strategy compared to other countries. If you look down south in Indonesia, you can start off as an exchange with up to 227 coins, whereas in Malaysia we started off with two and then expanded that to five. So we realized, well, there's a lot of work has to go into you know, kind of developing the industry. And then that's where we kind of thought, well, how do we do that the fastest way possible? And I guess, you know, a couple of rounds of chats like with various parties, and we realized that the best mix for us, at least, was of a very strong technology partner who's operating offshore, if you will, relative to Malaysia, and a very strong local partner who really understands how we can start integrating with businesses, because that in itself is, I think, a monumental feat. So, you know, a few months later, we are negotiating this with Kuskapi and Binance. And you know, so far, we're very happy with how the partnership is working out. And of course, the three of us are all aligned into making cryptocurrency trading and more, right? So we want it to be safe, we want it to be easy, and we want it to be very real for our customers, both individual and corporates alike.
Right. It's worth noting that while it's good for all the three partners to be aligned, the reality is that you are of different sizes, from different markets, with different intentions and different business goals. How do you ensure autonomy in your local operations here when it comes to running the day-to-day business as well as the overall long-term strategy for MX Global?
Well, the great thing about working with somebody as big as Binance is that they've done this times before, right? They've done it at least a few times before. So they have various, I guess, degrees of activeness, if you will, right? How passive or how active they are in an investee. And they have, throughout the negotiations, we have seen evidence of how they do support some of their investees and give them, you know, almost absolute autonomy. And of course, you have to bear in mind that in the Malaysian context, we are a regulated market. So in the eyes of the regulator, and this was our intent and our agreement with Binance, MX Global continues to operate the business. We see a lot of headway that we can make with a partner like Binance. But at the same time, it is not binance.com.my, right? It's going to be msglobal.com.my. And what we believe, and I do think that this is one of the major parts that the Binance team bought into, that, that they kind of, you know, they said, well, this is not just any typical investment, but we understand that your direction is different than ours, which it is. MX Global's direction is different than Binance, and they see significant value in that moving forward long term. We're essentially going to take a product like DeFi, for example, and we're going to work a lot harder to try to figure out how do you make it safe for the retail consumer, for the man on the street, for the Malaysian corporations, and then how do you work with the regulator to be able to push that to market. So the variety or the version of DeFi that we'll be able to host in that sense, or DeFi products, are probably not going to be exactly like how you see it in the unregulated world. And that's our belief, that in at least regulated markets, and the majority of the world will start progressing towards regulations, you're going to need to have that localization and compliance element. So DeFi today is very exciting, but I don't think it will exist that way, and definitely not in regulated markets for very long.
Yeah, first, can you let us in on what were some of the conditions set by the regulators prior to reaching this arrangement? And how did MX Global navigate through these various requirements that were set by the regulator?
I think that's like the $1 million question that everybody wants to know, how we managed to get Binance on board as a partner and an investor, effectively equity investor in MX. Yes, probably despite or in light of the fact that they were reprimanded by the SEC last year. So I think to answer this, we must be very clear, right? Like, we're not invested in by Binance.com. So this is not an extension of the platform that some Malaysians may or may not be using or had used in the past. It's an investment, yes. I think commonly we call them Binance, but it's an equity investment by their group venture arm, right? And through that, we have kind of an arm's length relationship with some of the other companies. And so that's where we can kind of bridge broach some of those conversations about the tech platforms, the kind of marketing strategies, a lot of the other reach that they have, and the products that they've kind of innovated on. But we have this layer between us and those products, which is essentially the investment mechanism that they have. Number two, I think it wouldn't be fit or my place to kind of comment on the reprimand, but we had taken every step to ensure that what we intended to do with Binance, the arm of Binance that invested into us, and of course Binance Group overall, right, because they have common shareholders and everything, that was in line and compliant with the requirements at that time. So moving forward, obviously as the partnership matures, we would expect that as the later tranches come in, that Binance becomes a more significant shareholder. So we've preemptively taken the steps to kind of notify the SEC to understand the dynamics of that. So I really can't give away too much like how we solved it. I do think this is testament to our team working really hard and trying to figure out a way to make this work so that we don't contradict or conflict with the current regulations. I think the assurance that we should provide to other people is like this is something that at the various points the regulators have been kept abreast of, and we're going our intention is to work very closely with them to kind of develop and mature this partnership even further.
Right. We'll take one short break before we continue on our conversation with MX Global. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back to Notepad. I have with me on the line Dato' Fazli Shah, the CEO of MX Global. Faz, let's continue on and pick up where we left off. When it comes to this strategic investment by Binance as well as Kuskapi into MX Global, I want to learn more about how this could change the landscape of the crypto scene in Malaysia, and perhaps how this would potentially push Malaysia forward in terms of leading in this sector, for not just, not just in this space, in this country, but perhaps for ASEAN as well.
Yeah. So if you look regionally, many of the ASEAN countries have started, you know, in one way, shape or form, regulations and enforcement of those regulations. As I mentioned, kind of at the top of the hour, you compare the Malaysia approach versus the Indonesia approach, they're starkly different. But what we find is quite common across ASEAN is, number one, the majority of ASEAN are made out of countries with restricted currencies, right? So I'm sure your viewers can appreciate that Singapore probably, or the Singapore dollar, probably has slightly different dynamics, but almost every other currency in Southeast Asia is a restricted currency. And with that comes many other risks of capital flight, right? And that's why I believe the long term, at the very least in the ASEAN region, it's going to be a series of regulated markets. And so the onus would be on the operators such as us to kind of, not to say educate the regulators, no, but you have to work very closely with the regulators, understand the direction of the policy, and understand how creative and how innovative you can be within. I don't want to say that there are constraints, but at the end of the day, these are legislative pieces, right? These are policies, these are acts. And so understanding, you know, how flexible you can be within what's laid down in those acts, and then trying to do some form of innovation within that. I'm a firm believer that if you're able to do that, you'll be defensible against the unregulated exchanges.
Yeah, you see, I think you touched on the right point here, or you touched on the key point here. Regulators do behave in accordance to the law of whatever the statute says, and therefore they keep to it, right? Do you see yourself as an integral part when it comes to developing policies in this space moving forward? And how do you split your attention between both running a profit-making entity like MS Global versus shaping the market to allow not just for MS Global to thrive, but other players as well, so that people like me, the market customers, can actually enjoy the benefits of this sector?
We really see it in three parts, right? Number one, we have to advocate for policy, obviously. And part of that is not just kind of, you know, a lot of talking. We do intend to be able to trial some of these products. That we can sandbox some of these things and at least show the regulators data-driven outputs, right, and outcomes to be able for them to be able to make kind of a hazard, a more educated guess to in the development of the policy. Number two, engaging at an international level. So you know, there are a lot of conferences, and because a country like Malaysia is subjected to things like the Financial Action Task Force, right? And then there are lots of those kind of bodies around the world. So engaging with them to understand it further, because I do feel it's a bit unfair that if the industry expects a regulator to appreciate the nuances of everything from bank transfers all the way to crypto savings kind of products, and then you expect, you know, a small group of these guys. I'm speaking directly from experience, even when I was in MDEC, right? That's a lot to kind of cram into your head to be able to put out the representation. So participating on those international platforms and understanding them further will help. We believe it will help us and help our regulators kind of understand what can be done within their own regulations that may be accepted or can be benchmarked against something that's happened somewhere else in the world. And the third is what I believe is most important is the investor education. We can talk all day and night about innovating, but investors have a very different expectation. And I think we should admit it, right? Like the crypto, as much as it's a sunrise industry, there are these other kind of like darker variants of crypto or businesses that promoted themselves as related to crypto that were essentially scams. And so the majority, I would argue that the majority of the Malaysian market still has a perception that cryptocurrencies are scams. So showing them that we're an RMODEX is one thing, but giving them that internal confidence to understand the products, to understand the volatility, to understand the risk, but at the same time, understand the undue risk that they shouldn't be taking. Those are very important, and I think then, you know, that's the tide that kind of raises all boats.
Now again, you pointed out something very interesting, because you're right. Not many sectors are considered to be a sunrise industry, but crypto is. In that, crypto being a sunrise industry allows for your company and companies like yourselves in this sector to grow continuously. Maybe this is a good time for you to talk about the Russian-Ukraine conflict. I'm not asking you to comment on the war. Neither of us are foreign policy experts or war experts. But maybe you can comment on how crypto is currently being used by both the West as well as Russia as a tool in the economic sanctions story. How will crypto be featured moving forward in these troubling times?
I think that is an excellent question. I like many other people, are very sad about what's happening, you know, at that border. And let's not talk about what could happen, but really what has happened in the last week or so, right? Russia got cut off from the international banking system. The SWIFT network kind of cut off all the Russian banks. And a large amount of the Russian-based players looked at crypto to be able to facilitate their fund transfers out. And of course, some to continue their business, but some to obviously, in a way, protect their assets, right, to take it out of the economy and into this digital ledger. Did anybody see it coming? Of course not. I think nobody wished for the war, but yes, a use case like this is something that I think a lot of people anticipated, because crypto has always been seen, and in many ways, a lot of people champion for it to be an alternative to the incumbent financial system. Now, what I feel is even more interesting is, as you know, our partner now, Binance, accounts for close to 60% of daily and annual traded volume, right? And of course, I would also empathize that if I were in their position, I would want to provide the service to everybody across the borders, right? Whether the Ukrainian side or Russian side. But what's really happened is that they've also come out and said, well, they're going to respect the position of the governments and the laws of the government. So if the governments do not allow them to engage with either party, then they're not going to continue supporting that. And I think that speaks volumes of the state of cryptocurrency industry development that we're in right now, right? I would hazard a guess that if this had happened five or eight years ago, it'd be still, I mean, it's not the Wild West anymore. It would be an even more wilder West, if you will. And nobody would have to listen to anyone, and nobody would want to listen to anyone. But as you can see, even the big international players do take heed and do at least pay respect to how countries want to shape their policies. So I think that's a step in the right direction. And I do feel that probably legakanlah hati, you know, like they incite a few policymakers to know that they wouldn't have this alternative financial system just mushrooming and booming for no good reason, especially when the value at risk is something essentially a war. So
yeah, again, I don't know how to ask this next question, because when we talk about DeFi, crypto, distributive ledgers, you know, these are not meant to be governed, right? While fiat currencies are indeed government linked, at the same time, we need regulations by government, especially when it comes to the financial sector. Is there a disharmony between these various elements? Do you think that things are not meant to be regulated, needs to be regulated, or vice versa? How do you reconcile with these opposing strategies?
No, I think in the grand scheme of things, and I'm not speaking specifically about the Malaysian scenario, but generally, across the world, this is really a wake-up call, right, for governments and centralized systems, in that it's not that systems are bad inherently because they're centralized. Is that sometimes in centralized systems, it's not about the abuse, but it's the fact that the social norm has come to accept the inadequacies or inefficiencies of those systems. I'll give you a case in point. Many people, of course, put up an anti-crypto kind of stance and say, well, it facilitates money laundering. And in an independent study, it's 1.5%. Of 0.15% of all cryptocurrency transactions have been identified as related to money laundering or terrorism funding. What's the equivalent of that in cash? The equivalent of that in cash is something like 14 to 17%, you know? So I think governments all across the world have to kind of wake up and realize that's obviously just one element, right? The fact that most of these fiat currencies are also called fiat currencies because they essentially have no asset backing is going to be a problem, and it's a problem that can continually be swept under the rug because governments are in power. But essentially, it comes at a cost, because then you end up with a Venezuela with a hyperinflation. You end up with scenarios where the centralized systems actually still cannot cope anymore. We came very close to this several times during the COVID days, right? I mean, if you had to count how much the government pushed out just to keep the country going and people, the sustenance of just basic stuff for our people, Malaysia didn't have it as bad as some other countries. But I don't think it's necessarily that that cryptocurrencies were invented to go at odds with the government. But at the same time, I do think that the governments have to review on how these incumbent centralized systems are in themselves not impermeable or cannot be faulted, right? So I guess if I can address the question specifically around something related to our business, just because it's called decentralized finance doesn't mean that there's never going to be a centralized element. You can also trade cryptocurrencies on decentralized exchanges, but there are lots of benefits of coming to a centralized exchange with the likes of an MX or even an unregulated player, because essentially they're still centralized, because it affords you a lot more security in a sense of the product security than you would have if you took all of that responsibility onto yourself in a decentralized exchange. And I think that's something that many of our consumer investors will realize soon enough, which is that the price of the true price of decentralization is ultimately that you pay all of the cost of responsibility on yourself. And if you lose something, or if you forget a password, or for some reason you get hacked, there's nobody there that's going to be able to protect you or help you, or there's no customer service department, you know? So I think that's a give and take to all of these things. But essentially, we believe that crypto is here to stay, and there'll be a version of form of crypto that will be able to coexist with governments and the incumbent financial system. And of course, the long-term winner will be the ones that add the most value on either side.
Okay. We'll go for one more break before we conclude our conversation with MX Global. Welcome back. I have with me the CEO of MX Global, Dato' Fazli Shah. Faz, let's talk a little bit more about the company itself, MX Global. What would be some of the future plans for the company? Will there be more cooperation like this? And perhaps what can we expect more from MX Global moving forward now?
Well, safe to say that on the technology side of cryptocurrency or like exchange-based or exchange-related products, we're confident that our partnership with Binance will take us quite a fair way through in terms of product development. What we're going to turn our sights on and concentrate is to provide the second half of our thesis, which is that you can do a lot more than just support retail investors with just centralized cryptocurrency exchange type services. How do you make it more real, right? As I shared at the top of the hour, we want to make it safe, and I think we're on good way to kind of make that happen, right? It is safe and it's regulated. We want to make it easy, which is what I believe the partnership with Binance will allow us to see what millions of people accept as better usability or user experience. But the third part is where we're going to focus a lot of efforts to make it real, so that you can essentially do more with a Bitcoin or an Ether than just kind of buying and hodling or trading it on exchange. So I don't want to give too much away, but many of the partnerships that we have lined up are on the local side, and they are with other regulated players. As I said, right, we have to find that flexibility and where to innovate within regulations. And we're confident that we'll get there with not just Binance and Kuskapi, but a host of other partnerships onshore in Malaysia.
Okay. Again, fantastic having a conversation with you. I do wish all the folks at MX Global all the best. This is an exciting time for you with Binance and Kuskapi. If you've, for the rest of you, if you've missed any part of this show, just head on to astrowinder.com. Look for Notepad over there. You can also look for Binance, Kuskapi, or MX Global, or crypto, or DAX, or SC. Those are the kind of keywords that we have left for you to search on this show. But for now, until then, thanks very much for watching and goodbye.